Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I am in Houston, Texas. I'm broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic. Actually, later today, I'll be at the Administaff Small Business Classic. At the moment, I am at the Marriott Woodlands Waterway, I think is what it's called. The outstanding hotel here in the Woodlands, north of Houston. I said I'm in Houston, but actually I'm hard by to Houston, north of Houston, in the Woodlands, up I-45. Like if you were going to Dallas, you have to go right through the Woodlands. Anyway, this is my fourth year to broadcast from the Administaff Small Business Classes. Think about that, folks. A golf tournament, a professional golf tournament, a PGA Champions Tour golf tournament named for you and me. It just doesn't get any better than that. And I always tip my hat to the Administaff folks for thinking of us. Isn't that great? Well, we got a lot of stuff going on today. This is home-based business week. We're kicking that off this week, or today, I should say. And today is Columbus Day, and I'm very excited about this because we got the guy with us who knows all about Columbus, Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. You know who he is. He joins us on all the holidays, all the big holidays, because he's the expert. He's the guy who wrote the book, Don't Know Much About History, which is really not true. He knows a lot about history. And he also wrote a book called Don't Know Much About Mythology. And I'm waiting on him to write the book that comes clean where he writes Don't Know Much About Women. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Well, that's for sure, and I don't want to reveal my ignorance, I like to write about these other things because I do know something about them, but on that subject, you know, I'm going to claim complete ignorance.
Here's what I've learned about that subject. This is we could get all this on one page, be a very, very short book. When it comes to women, Ken, here's all we have to learn how to do is just say, I'm sorry, yes, ma'am. It's my fault. I think you should go ahead and get that. Those four things. If you can say those four things, you know, I think that would be a very valuable book. You know, even though it was just one page. What do you think?
That's true. You could get far with that.
That's exactly right.
I have another one that goes, whatever you say goes.
Yeah. and then of course my dad would have said, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Hey, you know, a few years ago, I think it was on the Today Show had this story, and they talk about surveys all the time, and they had a survey that explored why marriages last. You know, they looked at the marriages that lasted 25 years or longer, and they came up with the astonishing finding that marriages that lasted longest were those in which the husband paid attention to what his wife wanted him to do. So, and then did those things. I speak from someone who celebrated 29 years yesterday, so I guess I fall in that category.
Well, congratulations. And just so that you know that, you know, just to prove that why they call me the King of Segway, Ken, was Columbus married?
Yes, he was. He was married to a very pretty prominent young Portuguese noblewoman. He married well. He was son of a weaver, we're told, and it's, there's an awful lot about Columbus that's still in the realm of legend and speculation and supposition. And in fact, we can talk about this as a front page story today in the New York Times about how they are trying to do have DNA taken from Columbus's remains, and they are trying to match it up with modern day descendants and figure out where exactly he came from, because there is suspicion. There's or not suspicion, but so much as uncertainty, because, you know, documents from the mid 1400s aren't that precise.
Right. Well, how many children did he have?
He had one son who survived, who came along with him on some of the voyages and wrote some of the first books about him. you know, Columbus was not famous necessarily in his own day. He the legend was that he died in poverty and
right.
obscurity, and that's not quite accurate either. Certainly the Spanish realized that he had done something fairly extraordinary, but he had not accomplished what he set out to do, which was something very specific, of course, which was to find a way to sail to Asia, and specifically
right.
China, by going west instead of sailing south along Africa and up towards India, which is what the Portuguese had done.
Is it true that he sat on the beach and watched ships coming back from sailing or from fishing or whatever, and he saw the masts just barely coming up over the horizon, and he said, the earth must be round. Is that what happened?
That's also in the realm of legend. People knew the word earth.
It makes sense, though, doesn't it?
The whole flat earth idea is really, you know, kind of silly history, because the world knew, the educated people knew that the world was round. The Greeks had proven it mathematically 1,000 years before Columbus was born. There were actually
right.
even globes of the world in existence at the time. So that notion that Columbus was setting out to prove that he wouldn't fall off the edge of the earth is really one of the last myths to fall. What's interesting, though, and this is, of course, one of those aha, eureka moments that I love to find. Columbus himself wrote about what shape the world was on one of his later voyages, and it wasn't round. He was actually sailing off the coast of what we now know as South America. He still thought he was off somewhere off the coast of China, looking to meet the Kublai Khan. And he sees this water rushing out of the continent, a river, big river. We know it's the Orinoco River now. And he writes in his log, and this is his own. These are his own words. He writes in his log that this is one of the rivers that is mentioned in the book of Genesis as surrounding the Garden of Eden. Columbus thought he had found the Garden of Eden. I thought, that's strange. He never mentioned that to us in school. Then he goes on to say that this water must come from a very high place because it's coming out so fast. And he said, it occurred to me that the world is not round, but pear-shaped. And then he goes on to say, that this highest point must be like the nipple on a woman's breast. And
oh,
I thought, they really didn't tell me that one in school. I'm sure I would have taken it.
Yeah, I don't remember that in the fourth grade at all. There wasn't anything like, because I'm pretty sure, Ken, I would have remembered that, don't you?
I'm sure I would have. Maybe he was a sailor too long at sea. I don't know. But
I'm pretty sure that would have rung a bell with me later on. Stand by, Ken. Take a quick break. It's 20 after. Right back with Ken Davis. I'm going to ask Ken, we come back, where would the United States be without Columbus? Stay with us.
Bookstore, first of all, and at the online booksellers under the Don't Know Much About label. And the new one is Don't Know Much About Anything, a collection of fascinating information in the form of a bunch of quizzes, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, good. Ken, Columbus discovered the Western Hemisphere for Europe, but he wasn't the first person to discover the Western Hemisphere, period, was he?
No, and of course he didn't even think he was in the Western Hemisphere. I like to say
right.
he actually discovered Club Med. You know, he was sailing in that, around the Caribbean. No, others have. You know, were clearly here in North America at least before Columbus. From Europe, of course, which
the Vikings
were certainly here about the year 1000, so nearly 500 years before Columbus. There's always been this suggestion that somehow there were maps floating around that they created and legends that were passed down for 500 years. Most of those maps one was actually produced at a certain point, and it was proven later to be a forgery. So there's no real historical evidence to suggest that Columbus knew that the Vikings had been here.
But let's give credit where credit's due, though, Ken. I mean, Ray Kroc didn't invent the hamburger or the McDonald's hamburger, but he did make it successful. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile. He actually invented the assembly line, and became one of the richest men in the world. So credit where credit's due, right? I mean, Columbus did turn the tide for North America.
What he did, no, we can't. You can't take away from his bravery, his incredible tenacity, and you know, he was turned down. Many talk about being turned down for a job or a promotion or a project. He was turned down by every royal head in Europe.
And he was really a heck of an entrepreneur, wasn't he?
He was an entrepreneur in many respects. But on the other side of the story, you have to realize, and this is what they left out when we were kids too, he was an incredibly cruel driven man whose treatment of the natives that he found, particularly in the Caribbean, was atrocious. He cut off their hands if they didn't find enough gold, and if they still didn't find enough gold, he hung them in rows of 13. So this was a brutal period in world history, and we have to look at that side of it as well.
Well, that's exactly right, and not to give him a pass for that kind of brutality, but it is appropriate, I think, to recognize the time of, as you said, as you indicated, the time of history that was. I mean, you don't accomplish what he did and get across the Atlantic with three little teeny tiny boats. And by the way, I've been in a replica of one of those boats, folks. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't want to go across the river in one of those things, let alone across an unknown body of water.
No, we're not talking about cruise ships here. These were small, and of course, the Columbus probably had a compass, but we don't know it for sure. A compass was still considered by many European sailors as something devilish, magic. So a ship's captain who had a compass would actually keep it secret.
Right. What are some other things that we need to know about Columbus that we don't know?
Well, one of the things, Isabel, who funds the whole project, was an extraordinary
woman. The Queen of
Portugal. Queen of Spain.
I mean of Spain. He was Portuguese. He went to Spain. That's right.
He was Italian, they think, and he was working for the Portuguese. He went back and forth. He was sailing for the Portuguese. There's suggestion that he might have been Spanish, that he might have been Portuguese. But at any rate, Isabella is quite an extraordinary person in her own right. She and Ferdinand were married when they were 17 and 18, and Spain didn't exist at the time. They actually united what were a bunch of fractious small kingdoms into what we think of more or less as modern Spain. They also threw the Moors, the last of the Islamic armies from North Africa, out in the same year, 1492. The other thing they did in 1492 was throw all the Jews out of Spain, which is, this was an extraordinary year in human history for the things that these two people accomplished. The cost of the voyage, by the way, I can tell you what it was in the Spanish coin of the day, but by comparison, it was much less than the cost of their daughter's wedding to the King of England. So, just to put things into perspective.
Very interesting. Kerry, got about 20 seconds. Last thoughts.
Last thoughts. We have to look at the bad and the good with history, but we have to also remember it's an incredible human story, and the real story, as we know, is a lot more interesting than the kind of legend they told us when we were kids.
Are we justified in celebrating Columbus Day, a day for Columbus?
That's a tough one. I think it's a good teaching opportunity, if not a celebration. But how about that
right
one?
And there you go. Hey, Ken, thanks
a lot
for being
Jim
here. Good job today. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Don't know much about history and all the other books in that series. Please check those out. They're outstanding, I promise you. Quick break. Right back with Beverly Williams. I'm Jim Blassingame. See you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.